What's going on? It's your boy Nick Moses 05, and right here, ladies and gentlemen, today we have with us an artist who is brilliantly intertwined with the colorful worlds of video games and the canvas of her imagination. From the intricate lines of Final Fantasy to characters that have been captured by the heart of millions, her art brings them alive with a unique touch, drawing her way into our hearts since the fifth grade. Yes, I did my research. She's showcased her talents across various platforms. Whether you admired her work from her website, been part of the interactive streams, or even double tapped on an Instagram, regardless of what it is, please join me and welcome the incredibly talented Charmy.
Hello, Nick. Thank you for having me.
No. Thank you for being here. Like I said, man, you know, I try to do these introductions. I'm trying to get better. You know, I'm spreading out, you know, sponsors want me to clean up my act a little bit. So I'm trying to be a little more professional. But these questions are going to be some lovely, very easy questions. So you can sit back, relax, chill out. Okay. Now, Charmy, what sparked your interest during that fifth grade era? Okay, because you said that fifth grade era. What's going on?
I think, well, as I was younger, before I knew what anime was, I had no idea. I just knew, I was like, ooh, look at these cartoons. And at the time, what I thought, you know, was American cartoons. So like Sailor Moon, Dragon Ball Z, or just Dragon Ball, that era, I was informed of a genre called anime. And for me, I was really sure. I was like, oh, what's that? And I can comfortably say my dad actually instilled that love for this realm of expression and just this world of like fantasy and shonen and magic. I was like, oh my god, what is this? And that's really where it started, man. That's where it happened.
Nah, you know what, I can say we all have family members that introduced us to things, and you're right, anime is one of those things. If you got introduced, especially at a young age, the lore can run so deep so fast.
Oh my god, right? Yes.
So you just like, in one anime movie, you just seen so much that you want to see more, but there might not be another of that version, right? You got to dig somewhere else for some of that, you know. I'm right with you there. I'm right with you. Now, your journey stated that you were off and on as a hobbyist throughout high school, right?
Yeah.
What drove that challenge and discipline? In high school, you know, me, myself, I was, you know, into a bunch of stuff, but it wasn't into a creative art like this, which is great. What drove that?
I think part of it felt, I don't want to say that I wasn't good at anything else, so to speak. I think very early on, the two things that I had the most interest in was becoming a vet tech and art. And when, I mean, I've gone through a couple of art teachers, but I think when I got to high school, there was one teacher that I remember vividly who kind of opened up the space to allow for that creativity to kind of bloom. My parents have always been very supportive, and which is, you know, being in the creative field, you don't really hear that too often with us, with music, dance. It doesn't matter whatever the creative outlet is. And so I felt very thankful that I had the support at home. But when I got to high school, this teacher, Mr. Heckendorf, I remember his name, I will never forget him. He kind of created the space where it was just like a playground. And that's when I really started getting into digital, and then I met other peers who were like-minded, which, felt far and few, especially when you're in high school, you're trying to find your way, you're trying to fit in. And it was just this experience that I thought I would never have. And I spent so much time. We have this art hall, and in the old high school that I had, it was separated by like colors. We had the red hall, green hall, and blue hall, and each of those were assigned to like a specific curriculum. But for the artistic or expression or whatever you did that was creative, aside from like music and band, which is the other side of the school, we were in the green hall, and I spent so much time. I think I spent probably 80% of my time in that hall, just playing around with Photoshop, playing around with a tablet for the first time. And at the time, there weren't any display tablets. It was all like just the little like bamboo or Wacom tablets where you had to draw, like looking forward, but your hand was on the tablet. So he just showed me so much stuff, and I had friends that I was able to experience that with. So that's kind of where I started to develop my discipline. I wanted to learn more. And I mean, even as I did that, my love for anime grew, and I was like, oh my gosh, what is this world? Like, it was amazing. And that's where I think I really started to be more. Like, so I know it's off and on, but it was more disciplined than what I was when I first got into it. So I would say that's around the time that really started to take root. So,
No, that was well said, well broken down. And I could imagine those two connecting at the same time. You know what I mean? Just the knowledge, and then you're learning, especially a lot of people. And I don't know, depending on the time, with artwork, you had a lot of artists who were not used to the digital side of things. They were used to just having to deal with, whatever utensils they had right in front of them. They didn't have a tablet where they can get software down. So it's wonderful that you got to learn that at that time and make it all connect. Now that's beautiful. So Final Fantasy has a very rich lore. All right. A bunch of characters. Out of all the characters you've drawn from the series, which one holds a special place in your heart and why? The one. We only taken one.
One man. I would probably say, ooh.
Yeah, it's tough. Just one. You're like, yeah, I gotta put all my chips on one.
I got
Yeah,
dang.
you do.
Okay. With the exception of now, because who was out now? My goodness. But I would say, I remember when I drew Yuna for the first time. And if, no one knows, or if you yourself are not aware, Yuna is a one of the female protagonists in Final Fantasy X, which is a very iconic game in my childhood. I mean, I played all of them except for Final Fantasy 11 and then 14 because they're MMOs, and I don't like me and MMOs.
Yeah,
I don't play MMOs if they're just not my thing. So, for me, Yuna is the most iconic, mainly because I would say that's what really that 10 specifically showed me what fantasy could be, and not in the classic sense of like knights and shining armor. And not to say that those things are bad, there's nothing wrong with cliche things because they all have a purpose, they all have a place. But I think for me, Final Fantasy showed a world outside of what I thought fantasy was. And we're talking like these cool summonable characters that you fight along with, like magic, and Final Fantasy is really what got me into, like, the idea of playing with magic. Like, now obviously not like in for
You
real,
know
but
what you mean.
in, yeah, within a world, like exploring it past the basic stuff, if that makes sense.
No,
I
that makes
mean,
sense.
it was just so, oh my God, I will never forget. And one of the creator, the character designer, Tetsuya Nomura, has been my childhood hero since day one. Him and his 1,000 belts that he be putting on his characters, like, this dude was just my icon. And I was like, oh my goodness, I want to learn to create characters like him, build this world like him. And it just really helped me start to like hone in on, whoa, okay, this is, I love stuff like this. I love this world of, you have a group of people or characters, I should say, that go through this journey with this one girl, and she's holding on to this, in this heavy burden that literally depicts the entire outcome of what could happen to everything that she loves. And you have these people that she meets along the way that are just so supportive, and you come through all these trials and tribulations, and this cool world of just magic and aeons, which are what the like summonables are called. Like, dude, I could go on and on and on, but I don't do that. But it just holds such a vivid portion of my memory, because that's what kickstarted everything. It just, I was like, I want to do that. And at that time, before I even really got into character design, I was like, oh, I want to get into like video game design. But then when I found out about concept art and I found about character art, I was like, all right, let's go that way. I'm trying to do that. So that's what really just took off from there, man.
Now that is a man, I totally relate, because I
Yeah.
still to this day, I ain't gonna relay my age, right? But
Yeah.
nonetheless, I will cut on some games, and still to this day, I just like to roam. I like to
Yeah.
see things. I don't
Yeah.
really look forward to complete it. And people go, well, what are
Yeah.
you doing? Well, I just want to see.
Yeah.
What did they put over here? Why
Yep.
can't I
Yep.
do this?
Yep.
And those type of
Yep.
things excite me more than, so I that's why when you say MMO, RPG, certain games, I would
Yeah.
spend a lifetime
Yep.
playing these games, especially with the type of person I
Yep.
am, So,
Yep.
no, well explained.
Absolutely. Nothing.
So you pretty much answered the next question, which was,
Oh.
of all the Final Fantasy games, which one was going to be the most, number one? But let's just say, which Final Fantasy game has influenced or inspired the most art?
Ooh.
There we
You want to
go.
know what's so funny? So now, forever years later down the line, Charmy, with the new release of Final Fantasy 16, which literally just came out in June this year, I would say, and it's gonna sound crazy because I've been a long time Final Fantasy fan. I'm like, oh yeah, like I have my favorites. I don't even know how this happened. 16 immediately took that spot. Number one, just like that. Which is insane to say, because it's just like over 7, which is super iconic, right next to 10.
Yeah, it is.
Some
Oh,
people will
yeah.
say 8 and 9. So those are very memorable. Those are very memorable. But the way that they handled 16 is everything that Final Fantasy is, just better. Just better. And I mean, now, this isn't really a spoiler because it's in the trailer. They talked about it when they were doing the release and showed demo and stuff. But like, you play as Clive, which is your protag in 16, but it's not the traditional party system that you've seen up until now. Even when it comes to summoning, it's not the same. So you're accompanied by, a few people that you meet throughout the story, but You have your little companion, Torgel, who's a dog, and it's just Clive. But the way that they integrate the idea of an Aeon, or some people might know them as Espers or Eidolons, depending on what Final Fantasy you play, they're all named different. And the way that this story about Clive is portrayed is so mature, and I think that's a part of why I like it. It's nothing that you've seen in the previous Final Fantasies, maybe 15, which is a hit or miss for some people, because they did a thing, but we're not gonna go there. And I had hopes for 15. It started off good, but anyway, like I said, we're not gonna go there. But 16, I think, holds a relationship and character building that you just haven't seen. And it's so relatable in the realest sense. I mean, like, you want to talk about duty, self-reflection, regret. You want to talk about loss. And it's not to say these other games didn't have that, but the way that they depict Clive's character in 16, it just, oh my gosh. And I'm always careful, because I'm like, for anyone who wants to play it, I'm like, please, my God, play it, play it. Just play the game. And since this game, which is, like I said, is relatively new, I'm like, this is Final Fantasy. This is a story. This is a world. And from this game, oh my gosh, I'm like, I feel like I could just like dish out anything. I could dish out everything. And it even got me thinking about my own world and my own characters. And so I'm like, oh, okay, this is what we're doing. All right, let me take notes. And like, even just fan art, like recently I've just been doing a whole bunch of Final Fantasy fan art. I'm talking about from one all the way up until now. And it has been so much fun. And look, I'm surprised my hands ain't nubs by now. All right, the way I'm drawing, I'm
No,
surprised.
I'm not gonna lie. I've seen a couple, and I've definitely retweeted some. And every time I repost anything, believe me, everybody, oh, it's just something. Like you said, it's something with seeing the character where it just bring it all back. So, 16, hey, everybody, I ain't gonna head and try sticks. See?
Saying.
Now, the tools of the trade seems like our Procreate and Adobe Photoshop CC. Now, how do you decide which program to use for a particular piece? And do they cater to different styles, techniques, educators? Because I'm not too educated. I use Adobe Premiere, might a little Photoshop touch, but can you give us a little education on that?
I really don't have a specific piece dedicated for the program. Most of the time, I will start a piece in Procreate, because there are definitely tools that are missing in Procreate that Photoshop has. And I'm like, yeah, you can't beat that. You can't beat that. And it can get, because Photoshop is originally a photo editing program, as opposed to Procreate being a painter's program. It's actually meant for sketching and painting and so on and so forth. And so it's actually pretty interchangeable for me. A lot of the time, I will, if I'm working on something at home, I'm like, I know I'm not going to be home for a while, I'll just send the file to Procreate, because it accepts Clip Studio files, Photoshop files, TIFF files, which I believe are for Sketchbook Pro, if I'm not mistaken. And then I'll just work on that while I'm out, and then I come back home, and then I drop it back to my computer, and then I keep on working on it on Photoshop. And so I will say this, most of the time, I will always, when I'm at that like 90, 95% mark of my piece, I'll pop it up into Photoshop. I'll adjust lighting, I'll adjust color, I'll do little tweaks here and there. Not heavy filtering of anything, but sometimes the color does look a little bit different from a Procreate file than when I pop it up into Photoshop. I'm like, all right, this is, yeah, I gotta adjust these. But honestly, it's so interchangeable for me. It's so fluid. Like, I don't really feel oh, I have to do this piece either here or there. But I typically finish most of my pieces in Photoshop.
Broke down. See, we're getting education too. We're getting a little education. What advantages does the iPad Pro offer compared to a, and I'm not even sure how to pronounce this, okay?
Okay.
Wacom-Cintiq?
Wacom-Cintiq.
What's the difference from just drawing? Like, with your hand, what are these differences? What are the pros to doing it on an iPad Pro or this device or just your hand? Like, give us a breakdown of that. Like, I'm trying to get a little more learning here.
No, you're good. I think the biggest advantage is the mobility of taking your work with you. So as opposed to having a Cintiq or just like a normal tablet that's specifically for the desktop, but the iPad, you can take your work with you wherever you are. I mean, and I think that was the selling point for me, was like, oh, I can continue my work outside of home without having to sit at my desk for hours at a time, which I don't typically mind. But if I'm on the go and I have a random idea or I see something and I'm like, I want to draw it out, I want to sketch it out. If I didn't have my iPad, I would have to fight for my life to remember what I felt in that moment. I'm like, okay, Charmy, don't forget this. And I have so much going on all the time, and I end up forgetting stuff anyway. So I'm like, oh my gosh. So for me, it's like traditional, but I don't want to say better, because traditional has its own beauty to it. I mean, I started off traditional before I even touched any sort of tablet. So I'm super familiar with both worlds, but I think what I really like with just the iPad is infinite possibilities, right? Which is why I think a lot of people move to digital, because the only thing that you're really putting in is time and how to use the tool. Anything after that, it's fair game. I mean, you're not wasting paper. The only you got to worry about is probably, you know, the power, because you don't want your iPad to die on you. But I mean, if you want to test out color without using traditional material, you can go through 500 color iterations within a blink of the eye, just like that, because it allows that. You get to even take your own sketches in your sketchbook or wherever you've done them, import them, clean them up a little bit, and then create an entire paint, like take it to a render that maybe you wouldn't have done traditionally. Or if you weren't sure and you wanted to test that out, you now have that opportunity to do so. And it's so funny. I always have this back and forth with, oh, Apple sucks, Apple this. I'm like, look, I didn't say everything about Apple's great. Granted, yeah, most of the stuff I have is Apple, but that is also because of it's the workflow that I have. AirDrop, you can't be AirDrop. I'm sorry. You just can't. When you're transferring files back and forth from phone to iPad to computer, like, it's so fluid. But the one thing I can say of a lot of the creatives that I have spoken to, my peers, people who typically aren't Apple, whatever, the iPad, they're like, yeah, I'll buy that. It's so... Oh my gosh, like, yeah, and it's a pretty penny. It is not cheap.
It is not.
But it's an investment, nice. And it is one that I will say, if you don't need an iPad to be great. You don't. You don't need these super high-end pieces of gear to be great. I just like what comes with the tools of these pieces of tech. And, you know, I got a little... You know, I got some experience, belt where I'm like, okay, let's express this on something more, and you know, I make perfect use of it, so it's not like a wasted investment, so to speak.
Exactly. No, that was good. I'm actually the one in the family that actually supports the Androids. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's all right.
You know, wife, man, kids, daughter, I understand. I say respect, man. I jumped off ship, and I'm trying to stand strong, okay? But great, nonetheless, Products are great, I must say, but you know, only thing, hefty penny, but you gotta
it's
deal with
expensive.
all the other stuff, you
It's,
know. Now, streaming, engaging, you know, posting on Twitter, doing all these things. How has your fans, or have they at any point, drove your artwork? Like, have you had fans kind of grab towards certain things and you say, you know what? I see this is something that they like. Let me do a little more.
Ooh. For me at least, it's a hit or miss. I think, let's see. So to kind of give a little bit of context, 2018 is really the time that I started to get heavily disciplined into what I do, which, is really not that long ago. What,
Right.
five-ish, 6 years ago, whatever math is, somewhere in that time, whatever. And I was like, I don't want to do my day job for the rest of my life. It's very taxing on my body. I mean, I'm a massage therapist, so it's a lot of physical labor. And then I draw a lot, so it's like my body doesn't really rest. And I was like, well, I don't really want to do this forever. I'm still there, by the way, but we work on our way out. And I have always, the as you know, Final Fantasy has always been my thing, but in the beginning it was really tough for me to go that route because I was always looking at what was trending, what are people drawing, like looking at the market. And if you're gonna draw anime, the hardest thing that, at least in my experience, that I've discovered was how do you stand out in such a saturated genre field where people are miles ahead of you doing really strong work. And so for a while I did heavy anime stuff and tried to gauge like, okay, what works. But a lot of the time, again, I was going for what was trendy, which, was kind of okay at the time, but because it was trendy, you just got washed out by everyone else who was doing that. So it's really hard for me to have to like gauge, okay, who likes what. And the thing that I found out amongst all of that was niching down. Like, what is something that you enjoy? Something that people don't see enough of, or the community of said IP or what have you is pretty small. So that could also go into like, for example, the trading card community is small but large, but it's niche. It's so niche. And so if you can find your way in that, or how you express what you love within that realm, your audience will find you. And I have tried for so many years to fit in a space, which I thought was my mistake. I was trying to fit in this realm, which made it even more difficult because I love anime. There are so many shows that I enjoy, things that I would express, and maybe it's like the imposter syndrome in me where I just felt like my style did not fit. It didn't cater to the anime style because, woo, they are picky, let me tell you. Oh my goodness.
I've heard.
That sphere of people, no matter what anime it is, how old, how new, they are picky. Oh my goodness. And it's not to deter anyone who may want to get in that. It's just, again, my own personal experience that I have realized was just that rather than trying to go with the flow along the current with everyone, what happens if I were to like break out of that flow and go the opposite direction? When some people say, oh, you're going against the grain, you're fighting an uphill battle, da, da, da. Oh, those very classical sayings, so to speak. I have found in my experience, niching has worked best for me. And then I see a positive response because I'm tackling a genre that most people don't get enough of, and sometimes certain characters that don't get enough love. And they're like, oh my gosh, you drew this character. So it brings in other people. And then there are people who I've come across who are not fans of Final Fantasy at all, but the way that, in, you know, from their words, the way that I've depicted a character, it got them interested. They're like, ooh, what's that? Who is this? I'm not too familiar. So in that aspect, that's what worked for me. And that's kind of how I've navigated that space. And it's a nice positive feedback from just people online. I'm like, okay, cool. I feel like I'm going in the right direction, which is initially what I wanted to do, but I was too scared to do that. And I spent all this time trying to, you know, put a triangle in a circle or a star. And I was like, that don't fit. Like, oh, let's try again, you know? So it took some time, but I'm starting to find that flow, if that makes sense. So
no. It's kind of. Yeah. Totally makes sense. Totally. Yeah. I mean, even me, I'm doing a podcast now, but when it started, I wasn't doing a podcast. I started a YouTube channel because I was tired of people asking me what to do with their modded systems, right? And they're like, what do I do? I got tired of it. Man, I started putting up videos. Man, go to my YouTube channel.
Yep.
But it wound up, lo and behold, man, years later, things change. And, you know, so that journey was well explained. You know, you jump into it at first and it's for whatever different reason, right? You're just doing it for this, and then you start niching down, you start finding out what you love, what you like to do, those type of things. I spot on. I mean, just spot on. Now, John, I'm gonna be honest. Now, these questions, okay, ChatGPT, take the information I give it and it put out some good questions. This next question, I was almost frustrated as I pre-read it, okay, but I'm gonna just go. It said, being in mountain-specific time zone, you might have viewers and fans from all over the world. How do you manage to keep connected with a diverse audience given the time difference? You know what? If you want to answer that, you can. But that to me was like, time zone. I go an hour early. You know what I'm saying? I go an hour later. What are you saying? Like, I don't even think you should answer that. I think we can skip it. I ain't even gonna waste your time with that. Now, for artists who start out, you gave some tips previously, but any other tips you can give for them to stay disciplined in the craft? Because you said, you know, at the beginning, you jump in, it's a big pond, and then you get, oh man, they said, I ain't draw this perfect, right? I didn't have the edges on the hair the same way. They were rounded, they wasn't sharp, or they wasn't this. Color was a little bit off, different couple. You know, how do I stay disciplined, motivated? What are some of the things that you did through all the negativity?
Oh, boy. I may have said this previously, but I would like to iterate it again. I think first and foremost, the phase of exploration is not to be dismissed. I think it's because we're so, oh my gosh, we are flooded with content every day. We see great work every day. I think probably overstimulated than we should be. And we can't really pick left from right because we keep seeing, it's like the shiny object syndrome, right? Like, oh my gosh, ooh, look at that, look at that, look at that, look at that. I would say at first motivation seems like, oh, I need it. Like, I need to stay motivated to do this thing. And really, what I found out is it's not the motivation that keeps you going, though it does help. It's the passion for it. Like I always like to ask this question, if money was not to be made, or if money was never a problem and fame was never a variable, would you still create outside of that? Is that something that you would still like to do? Now, obviously, in the beginning, if you know you're not sure, you dabble in that, you play with it and see how you feel. But if you know, like, art is a direction that you want to go, and you're trying to find your footing, I would say just know your why as to why you're drawing first. Because if you start coming up with, like, oh, I just want to be famous, it's not to say those things are wrong. It's look, everybody want to be
Nah,
famous,
I
right?
get you. Yeah,
All of
yeah.
humanity. It's human nature. It's okay to desire that. But when you start heavily basing your drive to create for the sake of vanity, a number, a follow, you really start to lose the authenticity of just creation. I think there's something to be said about any creative being in a flow state that's so raw and natural that you remove the internet, and it is insane what people create. So I think in the beginning is know your why. Know why you want to do this. And it could just be, well, I want to be a part of Riot, or I want to be a developer in an indie game. Whatever your motive is, hold on to that in that aspect. Hold on to that. And the biggest thing is, are we allowed to cuss or no?
Oh,
Because
let it roll. We
but
let it roll.
we
All of them. Shit,
are
fuck all that shit. We let it roll. Let it go.
I was like, look, you gotta let the shit out, right? You gotta let it out, and you have to be okay with being bad at it first. And it's I think that's the hardest part to overcome, is knowing that you're gonna be bad. And you're gonna be bad for a while. Art is one of those it is one of those skill sets that take the longest to see progression. And I think because it's not instant, and you know, because we stare at it all the time, we only see inch by inch by inch by inch, and you won't really notice growth until about, you know, 3 months, 6 months, a year and a half out, and then you look back on the things that you've done. Hence why it's important to keep your old work. I know it's cringy, but you need to keep it, because that itself also is a morale booster for you. You're like, okay, so maybe I'm not as bad as I thought I was. Maybe I got a little something going on. And that in itself is it's your visual journey of your art. And also too, not everybody has to see what you're doing. It is okay to make art that is for you. Oh my goodness. I feel like now, because of the age of social media and everything is, you know, content, so to speak, like there are some things that you can reserve for yourself. And you should be able to give yourself permission for that. You do not owe anybody anything that you do, though having social media is a nice space, because we get to share that with other people. So when it comes down to motivation and discipline, the one thing that I can say is, specifically for art, know that it's going to take time, but find that medium where it's like, I know that I'm not good now, but I know that I will be. And you're gonna go through some ups and downs. There are days where I'm just like, oh my God. Even now, I'm like, do I know how to draw still? Why is her eye floating off her head like that? Wait a minute, I've drawn how many heads now and faces?
Man.
Like, look, sometimes it'd be good, sometimes it'd be shit. Like, it
That's
happens.
true.
It happens. And another thing, oh my gosh, community. Find a community, the big or small, of people who are within the realm that you are in. It does so much for you. I mean, I have gone my artistic journey alone for years. Years. Like, it wasn't until, and I am not exaggerating, it wasn't until 2021 is where I found the biggest art community that I've ever experienced in my life. And it's not to say that people in my life aren't artists. I mean, they practice different forms of art, photography, music, writing. It's all art. But visual art, I've always been alone. And I would be in my room like a little hermit crab, just drawing away, trying to figure it out, putting in work, getting frustrated because I was like, I don't know what this is. I don't really know who to go to help me with this. And so when I got into the Discords, and I got into, because I've always been a part of Twitch, but I didn't know Art Twitch was a thing until 2021. And I was like, wait, what? I have met so many amazing people, people that I can now call friends. And when I say my art has leveled up since then, oh my goodness. And I can't even exaggerate on that because the stuff that I was doing before, you don't know what you're doing incorrectly or things that can be improved because you're the one staring at it. You're used to it. So when you have a fresh pair of eyes or people who may be a little bit more skilled in a certain area of the creative process, they can help identify that and they can help improve it. So having a community is so important. And go through the hard stuff. I just can't iterate that enough. I just can't. And you have to be okay with it. It's hard. It's hard. It's hard. It's hard to be okay with the fails. It really is. But that 101st attempt is so much better than that first one. And you can see that growth. You can. It's slow, but it's there. So
No, I agree. I've seen it on my podcast as well. The first time I did a podcast, right? I was doing a podcast trying to get away from doing these videos. Like I said, I'm tired of now telling people how to do this stuff. I want to do something else. And I look back at the first one. I go, man, wow, look how far you come. And I'll see a year later and I go, oh, you upgraded certain things, but you still didn't upgrade this, you know? So constantly trying to improve, and you can see it. You're right. And I do believe having that work to go back to and look at, very important. So no, you broke it down good. Now, recall one particular piece that was challenging, that had you like, man, I was drawing this piece and everybody and me and my head and everybody, it was challenging. And but I finally overcame it.
Oh boy.
Bam. There we go.
So many.
We all got them, you know. That's how it is. Damn, messed up. Let me try again. Oh, let me try again. Oh, let me hit it. That's kind of life story, man.
Man, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. I have a few, but I think I would say my most challenging piece had to have been a one piece illustration that I did that had multiple characters. It wasn't just one, because usually I just do like a one-off character, or not like a one-off character, but it's usually focused on a single character. This particular piece had 10 characters, and I've never done a piece that large, and I was trying to figure out how do I keep this together? How do I keep this feeling uniformed and like it is a part of the same realm, the same render, the same lighting? And oh my gosh, I think that piece took me like 3 weeks. That's the longest I've spent on a piece. I was like, is it over? Is it over? Am I done? No, I'm still okay. I'm still going. Okay. There has been so many times in that piece I was like, man, I was like, F it. I don't want to do this no more. But I had already put in time. I was like, oh man, I gotta keep going. I kept having to get help. I was like, I need 8 eyes. Hello, somebody there who can look at it for me because I've been staring at it too long. Too long. And but I learned so much in it. And it wasn't like me nitpicking. I mean, there was definitely like portions I think at the end where I was getting feedback where it was like I think it became just like personal taste thing. I was like, I didn't ask all that. I'm just saying,
Yeah, I know
in
what you mean.
general, how does this appear as a full piece? And I learned so much. Oh my goodness. And it was just like hours and hours of back and forth, times I wanted to scrap it. But I feel like there's always a point in a piece where you get there, where you're like, all right, I'm not sure, do I go left, do I go right? What do I do here? And, you know, going back, that's kind of where that community comes in. If you've built, you know, a healthy relationship with like certain peers and people that you know you can go to, like, yo, can you look at this for a second? I need help. I need help. I don't know what to do. And
yeah, help me.
I'm thankful that I'm surrounded by a bunch of skilled artists, and I've been making even more connections. So in that time, people who I still feel are like miles ahead of me have helped me so much in that. And I felt like that also was a level up piece for me. And in all of that struggle, I was like, okay, what are some notes that I can, you know, make in the future when I tackle another piece this big? So it was I would say that was the one, man. I thought I was gonna toss it. I really did. I thought I was gonna toss it. Oh, woo, child. But I stuck it out, and I'm glad I did.
So, what other video game franchises are big to you? Size Final Fantasy. Is Tears of the Kingdom?
Huge Zelda fan. Love it. I don't have a Switch, so I can't even play Tears of the Kingdom. Not a big fan.
Right there. You know, keep it on deck. It's right there. I tell you, it's special. Yes. One of the best Tears ones I got. Right? But what is a video game franchise that would be, besides, you know, Final Fantasy, are there any other video game franchises that sit dear to you?
Zelda. The entire world of Zelda. It's classic, man. I remember my first experience was Ocarina of Time, and it will still always be my favorite one. It will always be my favorite one. And you know, it sucks because I can't even play Tears of the Kingdom. And I'm just like, this makes me so sad. But like some of the clips that I've seen, I was like, yeah, I already knew this game was gonna be good. And you know, even just from hearing like peers play it and stuff like that, it's miles ahead of Breath of the Wild, which is such a beautiful game too. And I was shocked. I was like, wait, what? I haven't even played Breath of the Wild. I'm like, well, hold on. I played a little bit, but that was also by happenstance because I know people who have Switches. So okay. I was like, oh, I'm going to play this for a little bit. Yeah. But Zelda is one of those games, or franchises, I should say. What's another one? Devil May Cry. Oh, Devil May Cry.
Big one. That's a big one.
Dude, that's my boy. big fan of Devil May Cry. So I would say, like, outside of Final Fantasy, definitely those two.
Okay. No, I like this. So, and you know, with this ChatGPT, like I said, you know, some of these questions I had to just bypass. You get a lot of good information. You know, I know this, ChatGPT. I know this.
Yeah.
I need some better ones. Not them last three wasn't good. Can I get three more? And they just tried out. But nonetheless, I'm going to say, so people who are unfamiliar with the world of video game art, what is one thing you like them to know and appreciate about your craft? Okay.
Ooh.
What do you put in that artwork? That's that little tang, something that you like to do. That's your thing.
I think
there's so much. Yes, I think in different pieces. What do you do? What is something that's your thing?
Okay. I would say, dang, wait, that's a hard one. Hold on.
Yeah, that's why I had to twist it too. I knew ChatGPT wasn't working. I had to switch it up.
So what's a thing that I put into my work or video game? Or are we talking about like just in general?
You know what? Let's simplify it. Let's say
Okay.
in
In
general,
general?
what is
Okay.
something that you do to your pieces? And even like you said, you've seen other work that you may have. Okay, I can draw things similar, but even if you were to draw a similar drawing, they would say, Charmy drew that. I know, because of this. What do you think that is?
I would say, okay, it's not like a physical like feature of a character, but I think the things that people noticed the most about my work is the way that I handle color. Which is like, typically not really a answer you would get, because a lot of time it would be like stylization, the way that you use dynamic posing. But for me, it's color. And of course, imposter syndrome speaking, I personally don't think I'm that great at it. But again, I'm viewing my work in my own eyes because I'm the one who did it. So it's really difficult for me to see what other people see outside of myself, right? But I would say that's a notable trait that I get the most, whether it's online or if it's in person. I will always get, oh my gosh, your colors are so vivid. The way that you color is so unique. And in my head, I'm like, what you talking about? Where? And so I'm trying to figure it out. I'm like, what are we looking at? Am I missing something? But that's the big one. It's just the way that I use color, how if I had to guess, maybe how I make it feel homogenized and it's like put together. It feels like it belongs in the same world, and maybe how I play with lighting in that same realm. So I would, if I had to gander,
Yeah.
so honestly,
Okay.
that's probably the big one for me.
No, you broke it down. Now, Charmy, that was it. That was it. Wasn't that easy? That was nice and simple. Now, for everyone that would like to view your work, or they want to go and they want to see your work, see what you do. I want to maybe purchase something, maybe get a sent to them. Where would you tell them to go?
Well, I have a shop now that I recently launched June of this year, which I'm really proud of, and it's just charmyart.com. You can go there. Has all your anime needs, all your video game needs, and it's building. Like, I just opened it, so like for what it is, I'm thankful. I'm thankful for where it's at, and it's just gonna grow from there. And also, I do stream regularly. Like, it's so funny because I'm streaming right now. But I let chat know what's going on, and this is my big stream. So this is a long one. It's like 30 hours. All
Ah,
right,
yeah, you rocking out. Yeah, I
y'all
know that
can
guy.
watch the videos for a little bit. Well, I got stuff to take care of. So you can find me on Twitch. It's just charmy_twitch.tv.com. And I also have VODs, so like if people like to see what I do in real time, my process is there raw. I'm talking about me struggling for 5 hours on the thing, and I'm like, all right, we finally got here. We're
Yeah,
finally here.
that's the
So
best way to do it. That's how you lay out the education. People can see it. Charmy, yeah, I ain't gonna hold up enough of your time. Are you a celebrity? All right, I'm gonna give you back your
that's
time.
celebrity.
All right, my fault. I didn't mean to hold it up. But other than that, I really do appreciate it. And if you do at any point, need anybody shout out any work or anything on this side, I'll let you
Yeah,
know.
of course, of course. Naturally, man. And people were asking too, because I let chat know. They're like, wait, where can we see it? I was like, well, I was like, I'm not sure yet. I know Nick has to, do some editing and stuff. So I was like, once he gets some stuff together, I'll ask him, and then I'll let y'all know. So
Yep, and it's gonna, you know, what I typically do, like I said, I'm gonna edit it, right? I'm gonna show it to you first and say, hey, is it good? We got everything cool. Because if you see, like, oh no, I don't like, you know, I don't like to be putting out videos like that. Another person, like, I've been half the interview I was upset with, you know, so it happens. But nonetheless, Charmy, I thank you. You have a wonderful day.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Dave. I appreciate it, man. I do. Thank you.